Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to InfoScoop Live. Hello, I'm Susan Violante. I'm your host for today. I'm really excited to be speaking on the phone with award-winning author Anne-Marie Kazutomi. Her book, Darkness Falls, awarded second place on the 2014 Reader Views Literary Awards. The first of the Magicus Alliance series is an exciting fantasy that will keep you hooked even when not reading. But before we start, let's learn a little bit more about Anne-Marie. Anne-Marie Kazutomi has been enthusiastic about writing ever since high school. After successful careers as a finance director for a car dealership and owner of her dream business, a tea store where she created personal blends and educated customers about tea, a serious car accident changed her focus and directed her back toward the creative world of fiction writing. She has a BA in history and is currently working on a master's degree in ancient history as part of her commitment to writing accurate, authentic fiction set in ancient worlds. Anne-Marie currently lives in Aurora, Colorado, with her husband and talented adult twin daughters. For more information on Anne-Marie and her book, visit her website at www.annemariekazutomi.com, and that is A-N-N. M as in mother, A-R-I-E-K-A-Z-U-T-O-M-I.com. Hi, Anne-Marie. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good. Thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, I'm pleasure to be here. I'm excited.
I'm excited, too, actually, because your book, Darkness Falls, was a big hit amongst us here at Reader Views, by the way. Jennifer loved it, and she talked about the story for days and days. She was having even dreams about it and everything. So before we start, though, why don't you tell us a little bit more about yourself?
I am actually – so this is kind of further in my life. I started off years ago writing in high school, never really – considered it per se as a career, just did it more as fun. And my life kind of made different turns, and I was a finance director for an automotive dealership for over a decade, which led to being able to do what my dream business was, which was a tea store. And I did that for over a decade until after I actually had a car accident, which put me to the point where the doctor said I had to close. I could no longer blend teas and things due to the car accident. And during that time, writing became my salvation. Mm-hmm. It was very difficult sometimes because I would be laid up for 7 to 8 months at a time where I couldn't do anything. I'm right-handed. I couldn't use my right hand. I couldn't do a lot of things. So it was a matter of I've always been such a busy person. I can never sit still. I'm always having to do something. That I had to find something during that time to actually keep my mind focused and let me still be myself. And writing was that for me again. It was more when I started writing again. It was more just to keep me sane than it was to actually have something published. But once the book was done and I started letting people read it, everybody was like, oh, no, this is amazing. You have got to, share this with everybody else. And that's kind of how I got to where I am today.
So Darkness Falls was the first thing that you wrote, or did you do some writing just for yourself before the book started?
This was the first thing that I wrote.
Wow.
When this actually, after the accident. I started off, I'm a firm believer that even in doing fiction, unless you're totally creating a world that has nothing to do with Earth itself, I believe that you have to do research as well. And so I spent probably the first year before actually writing it doing my research and my homework on what the background of what I wanted, what the image in my head was to put it together with the background that I wanted to present in the book. And then as well as actually creating my characters and creating the world that they were going to live in. And then from there I wrote the book.
Yeah, so, and it impresses me actually that you wrote a fantasy having a historical background. And so I'm trying to imagine what influence does history have in your writing when it comes to the world that you're creating?
So this Darkness Falls was kind of a way that I could put two of my passions together. I love history. I should take that back. I love ancient history. Mm-hmm. I love ancient Rome. I love Greece. I love the Celts. I love ancient history. And so when I started imagining this in my head, I wanted to make it a little bit more, even though I don't think you can call mythology realistic, mythology is something that people do know. At least they have a little bit of knowledge of, even if they've never studied it, they know who Zeus is. They have some basis in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to try to make it a little bit more realistic in the idea that I was pulling from history so that people could go, oh, well, that's kind of mythical. That would make some type of sense. And that's what I was looking for. And so it was a way for me to bring both of my passions together and create something that I could also focus people on what I like, which was the ancient, ancient history.
Yeah. I'm a history fan myself as well. And I love any fiction that has to do with ancient history, and will devour them. And I can't imagine having a whole series with this magical world. you're really, really catching my eye on this, because Darkness Falls is actually on my pile on my night table for me to read. And I didn't even know it was a series until I talked to you. It's in my night table because Jennifer basically told me, you must read this.
And, thank you.
And so how many books in the series do you imagine? I'm trying to imagine just how far you're going to go with this historical, ancient fantasy, if you must call it that, something. And how many books do you plan, or do you have a plan on how many books?
I do and I don't. So, I think it's going to come down to how far it goes, how much the readers end up enjoying it. But in the beginning, there will be at least three, possibly four. Those ones will be focused directly on Alexander and Kara. So it'll tell their story. Those first ones will go through Alexander and Kara's story. My idea, my thoughts are, once I've told their story completely so that my readers truly understand the Magikos Alliance and the world that they live in, this Magikos world, then I would like to actually focus on some of the other characters and bring their stories forward. So that's kind of where I have not limited myself to exactly how many books,
mm-hmm.
but that's my general idea.
In the beginning,
it really does need to be a few books just for Alexander and Kara, just so that people really get a feel for, those two characters are going to play such a major role in the Alliance and
mm-hmm.
in that world itself. I thought that those ones had to have their books first. And then hopefully from there, then we can start telling the story of some of the other characters that are in the book.
I think it's awesome that you give yourself an empty canvas when it comes to the series. I'm a writer as well, and so when I am talking to people, they ask me, what do? Do you have like the entire thing planned and stuff? And I'm like, I just let the story take me, and then whenever the story says, okay, this is where it all ends,
right.
I guess that will be the end. So I like to see what other people do. That's why I'm asking, do you have it all planned out or?
Yeah, no, I think I agree with you. I don't think as a writer, I think this, I honestly believe, and I know to some people this sounds somewhat crazy, but I actually believe that the characters tell you how, where you know where you need to go. Mm-hmm. They tell you how the story should be written. At least that's how I see it. I can see this stuff happening in my mind. I can see the characters in my mind, and I can see what they would do. And I just think that when that time comes where it will no longer be feasible to write the series, I will know that. They will tell me.
And so, I think you're right. I think you're right. I wonder how difficult is it, or is the mythology that you use to do the research in order to make your world believable to the reader? How do you go about? Is it very difficult to get information that you can use, or how deep can is this research that you do?
Well, to give you an idea, and this is, I don't know if this is a spoiler alert or not, but to give you an idea, I had some people come to me after they read my book, and they were like, I'm trying to figure out who Alexander's grandfather is. And then I had others that were historians, mm-hmm. and they, after they've read it, and they came to me and said, that was genius. I knew immediately who you were talking about. So basically, what I did with that was, this was kind of difficult to, as I said, I wanted to be somewhat believable, but realistic. Alexander the Great has been said to have had either two or three wives. And when you look and you dig through history and you dig through all the research, the third wife is only mentioned a couple times in documentation from that period. And her name was Parysatis, which was the sister of his second wife. Some historians believe that he did have this third wife. Some do not. But there's very little known about her. But it is said in a couple of texts that he had this third wife. So I base this, because we know so much about his first wife and his second wife, and that his first wife killed his second wife to make sure that her child, you know, basically was the heir to Alexander the Great's empire, nobody really knows what happened to Parysatis. So I use that as an advantage for me. Since nobody knew what happened to her, and nobody really understood, you know, did he have her, did he not? She's kind of that variable there that nobody really knows about. She's there, but nobody really knows much about her. And so I used her to create my story. So to me, I really dug deep to find that one area of history that I could tie into that would make it somewhat more believable. And so that's where my whole story is based on, was Parysatis, after Alexander the Great died in Babylon, went and found. Back then, ancient people were not afraid of the supernatural. They believed in all, you know, I mean, they truly believed the gods walked with them. And so they would have known about people like the Croatians, the Dark Souls. And so in my book, she went and found him, and he took her to protect her and her child to Rome and to the king of the Croatians. So that's how deep I go when I'm looking for my research. I try
well,
to find
I,
that little
I piece. I love the fact that, you know, you're going really deep into the research to find that thing that is mysterious, you know. It's not like to find and corroborate the facts or whatever. It's on the contrary, it's to find that thing that you can actually create and complement, because there's not much in the records.
Exactly.
That's awesome and interesting. Inside Scoop Live is a global internet-based broadcast specialized in interviewing published authors about their current books and their areas of expertise. Join us and hear both well-known and upcoming writers talking candidly about their life experience, as well as the business of being an author in today's literary world. Always interesting and current, we strive to bring our audience high-quality discussions that spotlight a vast diversity of authors in the field today. Our interviews are available 24/7 through direct podcast, as well as MP3 download from your computer for your convenience. Please visit us at InsideScoopLive.com. Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. Today I'm talking with Anne-Marie Kasutomi, author of Darkness Falls, Book 1 of the Magikos Alliance series. stay tuned because we are going to continue this fun and inspirational conversation with Anne-Marie about ancient history and fantasy, making your own happiness, the importance of family support, and much more. But in the meantime, you can check out her book, Darkness Falls, by visiting her website at www.annemariekazutomi.com. And that is A-N-N-M as in mother, A-R-I-E-K-A-Z-U-T-O-M-I.com. I wonder, well, I guess that's where your history background comes very handy when it comes to, you know, knowing how to research history and the legends and all that stuff. I wonder, what does your family say of your of your newfound persona?
Actually, you know, they're quite excited. I was very, as I said, after the accident, because I was always somebody who was, I've always had a million things going on at once. When I opened my tea store, I was blending. I was doing the store. I was learning about teapots. I was studying tea. I've always been one that I really focus really hard on stuff that I do. And I do a lot of different things because I have to stay busy. So being laid up like that, I'm not, don't get me wrong, I love TV, but I'm not a person that can sit for hours and watch TV. And as they said, I became very grouchy and very, very difficult sometimes to be around because I wasn't doing anything. So for them, they think that this is my salvation as well. They've been very supportive with it. Along with it, I decided at the same time to actually go back to school and get my degree in history just to help me when you were saying to find this stuff. It took me a year to find to dig so deep on this first book. And so, you know, their suggestion to me was, if you're going to continue doing this, then you need to, why don't you go back to school? You wanted to get a history degree. Why don't you go back and do it? And that way then you'll have more for your writing as well. And so they've been very supportive. I just finished my bachelor's in history. So I have a BA in history now, in ancient history. And I just started my master's as well. So my family's amazing, and my husband's supportive, my two daughters are very supportive, and in fact, they were the first ones to read the book, and they were sitting there going, Mom, this is awesome, but, you know, so they're, like
the
I said, they're
very helpful.
The one
chance the kids get to criticize, right?
Exactly, and I guess, you know, that kind of makes sense for them, because I've done that their whole life. My daughters are very talented in singing, and they've competed for years, and they've also done pageants since they were probably 12 because they enjoy doing it. They enjoy being on stage. And I was the one that always criticized them. I was the one always saying, nope, that's not good enough. <You know? laughs> So now, you know, it's kind of flipped around now, and now they're like, nope, Mom, mm-mm. You need to elaborate.
I remember many years ago when I had the flu or something, and I was just so sick, and I didn't want to even, you know, do anything. And it hit me when my daughter looked at me and said, come on, I'm taking you to the doctor. And I'm like, oh, man, am I in that stage already where my daughter is telling me what I need to do? It was like a cold shower.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
How all of a sudden those roles just flip, and you're like, wow, yeah, I remember doing that. Mm-hmm. I taught them that. So, yeah, it is. It's they've been pretty amazing. And, you know, it's been a lot of fun as well. My daughters are both in their master's for psychology right now. And so it's been a lot of fun, not only writing the book, but also actually going back to school the same time they are. It's given us a lot of stuff to talk about, and it's for having to close my tea store at the time. I truly was so angry with having to do that, and because that has been my dream for so long, that it was having this and finding something that I truly enjoy doing again is pretty amazing. I'm a pretty lucky person to have been able to do two things in my life that I enjoy doing, and it not be actual work.
Yeah. It's it's kind of refreshing to talk to you in this sense, because I grew up in Venezuela, and when I came to the U.S., I was actually very happy. I had just finished college, and I had started my own pottery studio, and it was doing great, and then people went crazy in Caracas where I was, and my parents decided to move to the U.S., and I didn't see the point of staying with by myself there with, you know, the situation at that time. And I came back, you know, knowing that's it. I just gave up my dream, you know.
Right.
15 days, sold everything, came to the U.S., started working in accounting for 20 years and always kept writing as a freelance writer because I've written all my life since I was 12 years old. But I never thought I would have something that I enjoy so much, and this is exactly what I'm enjoying so much now, what I'm doing now. And in a sense, it came also because the – like you said, the life puts you in a situation where you just say, okay, I need to do something.
Right.
And so I want to ask you, and because I relate to you a lot in this sense, is you were in that point where you thought you lost everything. And what can you tell somebody that is in that same position right now that you know now and you didn't know then?
That there is always something there for you. You just have to reach out and take it. If you sit back, like I was doing in the beginning, and you just let the anger and, you know, eat at you, then you're not going to move forward in life, and you're just going to be an angry person, and actually you'll probably fail in everything because you're not going to be happy. You've got to make your own happiness. You have to find your own way. And even though everything looks bleak at that very moment, there's always something better sitting there. I can tell you, I would have never written this book. I would never wrote the books I'm writing right now if the accident had not happened. And as much as in that moment after I was hit, and the doctors told me, I'm sorry, you're not going to be able to blend teas at least for quite a few years. Mm-hmm. At that moment, as bleak as everything seemed, If it wouldn't have happened, I wouldn't be where I am today. And if it wouldn't have happened, I wouldn't have found this other avenue that I truly enjoy. And so I look at it now as actually a blessing. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you at that very moment, I looked at it as everything was, like you said, everything was gone. I had lost everything. Nothing mattered. And it truly, I was lucky enough to have a family sitting there saying, there's more to you than just that. There's more to you than everything you've done before. You can. You're good enough that you can find something else that you're going to enjoy doing. And they pushed me to do that. And if I could tell anybody right now, it would be take a step back, look at where you're sitting, and think of what else can I do in the situation I am that I like doing, and then try it. Don't be afraid to try it.
You know, so inspiring words. I can't imagine just what an example you're giving to your own children too.
Thank you. By
how you reacted to such a difficult situation, and not only, you know, writing as a reaction of what you were going through, but it was actually a successful writing because you actually had also an award that you won with us, and I know that everybody that's reading your book is enjoying it. So,
thank you.
Yeah, so I really, really, really am excited that, you know, this message that you're giving is going to come through in this interview. And I wonder, you know, I mean, your life story is basically a book in itself. I mean, do you ever think about writing of your own experience?
My daughters tell me, so my husband is actually from Japan, and he was a high school exchange student here in the U.S. That's how I met him. And so even from that far back, just getting him to stay here and be able to stay in the United States, and the company he had came over said that they were not allowed to marry here, they were not allowed to have relationships here, et cetera. So it's kind of amazing. My daughters always tell me, they're like, you need to tell Dad in your story. You need to tell, you know, you need to write all this. because, you know, they're like, it's amazing that you guys, you know, what you guys went through to be together and what you guys did and just your life in general, how you guys have overcame all these obstacles to do this. So it's been in the back of my head. They've been telling me this for a long time. And it's been in the back of my head. It's just, I think it's a lot harder for me to write about myself than it is to write about my characters. I know that must sound weird, but I've tried to sit down and put it to paper, and it's just like, I don't view my life as so interesting, to be honest with you. And so I know when people hear my story and they hear some of this, they're like, oh, that's amazing, and you should write this. But it's kind of, yeah, for me, as I sit down to write about myself, it's kind of like, yeah, I'm kind of a boring person.
Yeah, right.
And I just and I just can't envision people wanting to read about it. So yes, I've had people say that, and like I said, my daughters have been encouraging it for a long time. I just haven't been able to actually get something down that I actually like.
It will come, though, because, you know, I'm a firm believer in sharing life lessons. And, you know, when you're blessed, because it is a blessing, with experiences that will totally change you from the core out, those lessons need to be shared. It's just a matter of evolution of the human species, you know. So I really hope that you do. And I'm sure, you know, what I do is I fictionalize a lot of my things. I write actually historical fiction. And I fictionalize it, and it's the only way that I can put it down, because I have the same problem when I write mostly about my family, and so it is very personal when I'm writing, and I do have a trouble sometimes, you know, sharing stuff that might be embarrassing or too funny, and I'm afraid, you know, people will make fun of it, and, you know, I don't know. And so I fictionalize it, and then it comes out. So you should try that.
That's a great idea. Thank you. Yeah. That's a great idea. I appreciate that. I will definitely try that. Yeah, it might actually help me get through that.
Yeah, and I understand exactly, because it is hard. It is hard when you focus the attention to within, you know.
Right.
I had a in a writing class, I remember this author that came as a speaker. And she said, you know, I see writing as daydreaming. And since I'm the one in charge of my daydream, I'm always going to be the main character, and I'm always going to be skinny and beautiful.
I love that.
So
that's a really good, that's great inspiration right there. That's really good. I like that.
So it is what it is, right? It is what you
it
want.
It is. And she's so right, because it's amazing. You have it all when you're writing. It's right there in your head. You can see it. You know, it's as clear as day when you're writing, because you can see everything going on. So,
I want to tell our listeners, we are talking with Anne-Marie Casutelmi, author of Darkness Falls, which is book one of Magical's Alliance series, if you're just joining us, an amazing book that I really, really recommend. Check her out. Her website is AnneMarieCasutelmi.com, and it is A-N-N, M as in mother, AnneMarieCasutelmi.com. We're running out of time, but I always love to ask my authors, and this is going to be a special case, because writing was not a dream for you. It just, you know, came about as a relief of a really difficult situation. And so what can you share with authors that have not published about your writing, and, you know, some words of encouragement about, you know, writing and publishing for them?
I think the most important thing is, A, don't give up. It doesn't matter how many times you try. It doesn't matter how many people tell you no. That's not the issue. You know you wrote what you wanted to write. And what's more important is not to change for others, but to keep what you wrote and find somebody who likes what you wrote. I think that's the number one thing. During this, when I finally did decide to try to have it published, I had people say, well, I would like to maybe change the name, or I would like to change the names of the characters, or I would like to change this. But for me, each and every one of those was a reason behind it. There was a reason for the name that I chose. There was a reason the names that I did a lot of research to come up with the names that I had. And so to have things changed was not something that I wanted. This was I put a lot of myself in this book, and I'll put a lot of myself in the books I write from here on. So I think it's important for an author to remember it's okay to take suggestions. It's okay to take criticism. It's okay for people to say, you know, no, yes, whatever, and for them to take that and take the amount of it that they need to make their writing better, but not to necessarily change their writing simply because somebody else said, I'm not quite liking this. Because somebody else out there's millions of people on this planet, and somebody out there is going to like what they write. And if they're writing for themselves and they're writing because they enjoy it, then they need to stay with what they have, and they just need to keep pursuing it till they find somebody else that likes it as well.
I couldn't agree more. You know, as a reviewer myself, and I many times, you know, not all the reviews are positive, and
right.
Some are, you know, not so positive. And so when the author comes back to me, oh, I don't know what to do now, I always tell them, it's just an opinion. And,
exactly.
You know, there. I mean, if you look at the critics for, you know, famous celebrities, they not get praise on all of their work, you know? And
it's
that's
true.
Just how it is. Not everybody's going to be liking what you do, but there will always be somebody that will.
Right.
Always.
Exactly.
And, you know, and then address the negative for what it is, you know, always thanking, you know, for the opinion, and then you take from it and construct what you can use and use it. And whatever is of no use because you are convinced in your belief on what you're doing, then just take it as, okay, this is just not working for that reader. That doesn't mean it won't work for others.
Exactly. And I do believe, I do take, I'm one that listens to people's opinions and listens to the criticism as well. I mean, I learn a lot from that. And I have made changes based on some. But there's a lot that I haven't as well. And like you said, you have to take what will work for you
mm-hmm.
and make yourself better based on what you hear. But you can't take everything because not every, you know, I've told my daughters that forever. You can have six people in front of you giving you an opinion on something and they're all going to be different. And you can't change it to meet every single one of those people. So you have to just take a little bit from each one and make it your own. And I think that's the most important thing that an author can do, even after you've been published. I mean, I think I'm still learning. I think I'll learn no matter how many books I do end up writing, no matter how many books I do end up getting published. I think that it'll always be a learning curve. You're always going to be learning from other people with what they tell you. Everybody's going to have a different opinion. And I think that's just part of life.
I very well said. I couldn't agree more. And, you know, when you do that, when you follow your own opinions, you take what you can to make your work better, and you don't linger with what you didn't take. It makes your work genuine,
and
you know it is, you know, because then you're putting your genuine essence into it, and I can't tell you just how much it is of importance that your work is genuine. It's really coming from your heart and soul and your brain all together into one. And I think that's why, you know, some books win awards and some don't. I think that is really where the author puts a lot of themselves in everything they do on the publication and on the writing and on the promotion. When it's genuine, people relate to it.
I would agree with you, absolutely.
Yeah.
It has to have a part of you in there. It really does.
Mm-hmm. And listeners, we've been talking to Anne-Marie Kasutami, and her website is just like her name, annemariekasutami.com, and that is A-N-N, M as in mother, A-R-I-E, K-A-Z-U-T-O-M-I.com. Check her out. I'm sure you're going to love her book, and there's more coming, so check her out. Thank you so much for being with us, Anne. This was such a wonderful and insightful, inspirational interview and fun.
Thank you, Susan. I did. I had a lot of fun. Thank you very much.
And to you listeners, thank you so much. Again, Darkness Falls by Anne-Marie Kazutomi. Check her out. Thank you so much for being with us. And until next time.